you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to continue our study in the book of Acts. And today we're going to be in Acts chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verse 8. Again, Acts chapter 6, we're going to be looking at one verse, verse 8, here this morning. It tells us in Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Let us ask the Lord help with this one verse here this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We have access this morning to you, Lord, by the blood of the Lamb. By the work of Christ, Lord, we have asked us to come to you this morning. By the power of the Spirit that guides our hearts this morning. Lord, we pray to you, Lord, that you give us a word this morning. Speak, Lord, through your word this morning. Let us be reminded, Lord, of the redemption, Lord, that we obtain from Christ, all the riches we have in Christ, all the benefits, Lord, that we get in Christ. Let us, Lord, cherish that this morning through the preaching of your word. Build your church this morning. All of us, Lord, have had a difficult week or even a difficult morning. So, Lord, let us be reminded, Lord, of the promises you have for us, Lord, that nothing can separate us from your love, that we are in union with you forevermore. Who can bring any harm against us? So, Lord, we ask you this morning, let us be reminded of what we have in Christ. The things in this world doesn't compare to what we have in you. We are a forever loving God, Lord, that is united with us forever. Let your word remind us of that this morning. So, Lord, we ask you to speak to us this morning through your word. Even for myself, Lord, I am weak this morning. Help me, Lord, preach your word faithfully. Let me not try to add to your word or try to make it better. Lord, your word is perfect and infallible. Let me trust your word this morning and let your word build the church. And for those that are here that are not believers, let your word penetrate the hearts of the hearts. And turn a heart from stone to a heart of flesh, that they can believe in you this morning. So let your word go forward. In Christ, let me pray. Amen. I'm not a biology major, but one person said this about the brain. They said the brain controls your ability to think. The brain controls your ability to talk, to feel, to see, to hear, to remember things, to even to walk, and much more, the brain is used for that. The brain even controls your breathing. When we are playing basketball, we're not thinking about biologically the biological makeup of the brain. When you're playing basketball, you're thinking about trying to make a jump shot, trying to pass the ball. You're not thinking about how the brain is actually physically made up. The only thing you're thinking about, how should my hands or my wrist release this shot? You're not thinking about how the brain controls it. Even Elena, when she does nails, she's not thinking about the structure and the nerve system that give the signals to the hand and the fingers that give all them beautiful colors in the nails she do. The brain doesn't get that much credit. But in actuality, if you didn't have a brain, you wouldn't be able to paint those nails. You wouldn't be able to shoot that jump shot. You wouldn't be able to drive a car. But in actuality, we don't give the brain the credit. We give the credit to our hands. We give the credit in the sense of to our arms and to our legs. You may be asking right now is, How in the world this connects to our text today? Well, we celebrate the boldness of Stephen here. In his great sermon, we're going to learn about Stephen in Acts chapter 6. But just not Stephen, we have seen the boldness of Peter. How Peter has worked throughout this book of Acts, how Peter has been used to proclaim God's word. Now Stephen is used to proclaim God's word. And we can easily say and celebrate, wow, look at Stephen. Wow, look at Peter. Look at the apostles. But in actuality, it's not Stephen, it's not the apostle, it's the Spirit of God. It's actually God is using. And just how we don't give the brain credit, a lot of times we celebrate Peter and the apostles and Stephen like they're really doing something. They are doing something. But the credit needs to be blown to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is using these apostles to take his gospel forward. So as we learn about Stephen here today, may we not boast in Stephen, but may we boast in the Lord. Some people might say, well, the book of Acts. They might call it the Acts of the Spirit. You know, some people get it from this Acts chapter 2. Some people might say the Acts of the Apostles. We have kind of gave this a theme. This is more the Acts of Jesus through his apostles. We have learned in the book of Acts that Jesus continued his ministry. They killed Jesus in the Gospels, right? They killed him in the John Gospel. Then eventually the Father raised the Son back up. And the Son went to heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. But the Father and Jesus and the Spirit ministry continues. Jesus sits at the right hand, but he passes the torch. Now to the apostles, they continue the work that he's doing in the book of Acts. Isn't that kind of crazy? These people killed Jesus, that finally if we kill Jesus, we can stop the gospel. Once we kill Jesus, now we can be in control of the Roman government. Now we can control the world. But God in his wisdom had a better plan. After they killed Jesus, Jesus raised up in our power. Then he raised up people, which we call his disciples. Then he raised who up? His church. So this morning, as we learn about Stephen this morning, or more about this introduction to Stephen, we're going to do it in 3 points this morning. We learned that Stephen's faith was completely in the Lord in verse 8a. And point number two, we learned that Stephen's power came from the Lord in 8b. And we're going to end this off today with the last point. We learned that God does the work through his faithful servants. So to jump to point number one, we learned that Stephen's faith was completely in the Lord. So look back down in your Bible, in your text, in verse 8a. And Stephen, full of grace. We were first introduced to Stephen a few weeks ago. It was an issue that was happening in this church in Jerusalem. This was a mega church. There was over 8,000 people in this church. But the church was very diverse with different ethnicities. You had the Jewish people there. You also had different ethnicity of a Hellenistic Jews from different regions. Some probably from Babylon. Some probably from Assyria. From Libya. From different places. They made up this church in Jerusalem. But we found out that the pure breed Jews, they were cared for. Their widows was cared for. But the Hellenist Jews, the mixed breed Jews, they wasn't cared for. I think KJ used the word a couple weeks ago. It was like one of the first cases of racism in the church. These set of Jews that wasn't pure, they was cared for. But these other Jews that so happened wasn't pure, they wasn't cared for. So the apostles rose up and said, the church, raise up 7 men that can care for these people. And the church did such. They picked out 7 people. Not from just Jewish, pure Jewish origins. They picked out 7 people that was related to the Hellenist Jews. To make sure these people are cared for. And one of the persons that they picked out was a guy named Stephen. And we learned that the qualification to be appointed these deacons here, you had to be full of spirit and full of wisdom. And we know Stephen met this. In Acts chapter 6, verse 5, it tells us he was full of faith in the Holy Spirit. In our text today, it tells us again, Stephen is full of faith as well. And if you notice, Luke likes using these combination of phrases. So the book of Acts was written by Luke. Luke liked using these different combination of phrases. Full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Full of spirit and wisdom. Full of faith and power. But the key of these combinations Luke is getting at is the word full. Which has been used several times already in the book of Acts. One of the popular occurrences, or the most notable occurrence of it, is in Acts chapter 2. How the apostles and the disciples were full of the Holy Spirit when they began speaking in tongues. So the word full is a word that Luke continues using throughout his book, in the book of Acts. And to help them understand the magnitude of what is happening with the Christian church. So he adds the word full to it, let us know that this is not limited in any way. What has happened is not a partial work of faith. It's not a partial work of grace. It is a full work of faith and a full work of grace and even a full work of the Spirit. This is a climactic usage of the word here, full. They wasn't doubting God at all. They was full of faith. They wasn't doubting God. They was completely full of faith. Even the Spirit wasn't even partially guiding them. The poor were completely guiding them. And as they ministered the gospel to a broken people, they had unlimited power to do the work of God. So by Stephen being full, the brothers wasn't lacking anything. God fully supplied them with fullness of faith. So Stephen here, he wasn't trusting in his flesh. He wasn't doubting the person of Christ. He wasn't fearing the Jewish leaders. He was completely trusting in the sovereign Lord. Who does that sound like? Who does that description sound like in Stephen? This boldness that Stephen is carrying right now is pretty unique. Not too many people have this full boldness, full of faith. But also it tells us in Luke 4, verse 1, it tells us that Jesus was full of the Spirit. Acts 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So if Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit, the apostle is filled with the Holy Spirit, family, the church is filled with the Holy Spirit. It tells us in Ephesians 5:18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So not just Jesus full of the Spirit, not just the apostles full of the Spirit, not just Stephen is full of the Spirit, family, the church is full of this with the Spirit. But also, we also full of many other things. Romans 15:14, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery in which is Christ. So as a believer, we inherit the same boldness that Stephen possessed. And it wasn't anything special about Stephen. But it was a normal work of the Spirit, and that the Spirit enriched us in our walk. So before we celebrate Stephen, Let us come down and see that it was the Spirit all along that has done this work and enriched the disciples and also enriched Stephen. We will learn how the Spirit worked in giving Stephen the great amazing words of his proclamation before this religious leaders. But let me make a point here. If we just read the Bible as full of stories that are exciting and not see how God is revealing himself through every page, we miss the purpose of all scriptures. It's just not a story. It's more of this. It was revealing to us about the glory of God, his majesty, his perfection. God is showing us that his Spirit will lead his son to his sons and daughters to worshiping him in spirit and truth. He will lead his church to do that. Every time they meet in the spirit to worship the Lord. So every page in the Bible is revealing us about God, that God is the one that needs to be worshipped, that should be worshipped. And the Spirit in us, it leads us to know that God needs to be worshipped. So let us be thankful for Stephen. But I ask us a question this morning. Why do we struggle with this boldness that Stephen possessed here? If he had the same Holy Spirit that we have, why are we so afraid? Why do we give in when temptation come our way? When lust come our way? When pride come our way? When idolatry come our way, and we have this Spirit in us that Stephen had, why do we struggle? Why are we so weak? If God completes our faith with the Spirit, why do we struggle with this boldness? I think we struggle because we think the Spirit is just as weak as us. We limit the Spirit. We don't trust the Spirit. We trust what is coming to us. We trust what we always relied on. But right here, we see Stephen did the opposite. He trusted in the Spirit of God, not what is comfortable to him. When we said we were going to follow Christ, we're going to take off our cross, we're going to truly believe in Christ, at that moment, we are making a proclamation that God, your Spirit will guide my life. Your Spirit will lead me. But actually, we can say that. But when trials come our way, we don't listen to the Spirit. We listen to fear. What is this person going to say about me? I want this promotion at work. I want to maintain this friendship. I'm afraid what they're going to say. I'm afraid what they're going to do. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to cower my way in this. Is that, well, God, you understand. I'm in this situation, so I got to do this. No, we don't. By following Jesus, we lose it all. You might lose that friend. You might lose that job. You might lose those things in the world. But look what you have in Christ. You have something that the world cannot even compare to. That was Stephen possessed here in the Spirit. Because of his faith. In your translation, you might use the word full of grace. And that's the difference between the test of receptors and the minority text. You know, is it faith or is it grace? But we still can see the same thing is working here. That this Stephen is full of grace and he's full of faith right now. He is truly trusting in God. He's not afraid of these Jewish leaders. So think about it, y'all. This brother about to stand in front of the Jewish leader that killed Jesus. If they killed Jesus, don't you think they're about to kill this brother? But right now, it tells us before he preached the sermon, they already give us characters his character. This brother was full of faith. He's not worrying about dying. So if he's not worrying about dying then, which is the worst thing that can happen in this, right? He's not worrying about losing a job. He's not worrying about losing his friends, right? He's not worrying about those things. He's worrying about honoring the Lord at every single moment. Family, is that us? Or are we just always ready to honor the Lord when it's convenient to us? That's so true, isn't it? We don't mind praising the Lord at work when it's convenient. But what will happen when persecution comes? Do we stay in the game? Or do we make a substitution? A lot of times we make a substitution. We get out of there. And we justify it and make excuses for it. A family. This is what we signed up for. But we don't have to be afraid. He gives us his spirit to get us there. So we must be full of faith. But also in point number two, we see here as well. We're learning Stephen, power came from the Lord. Look at AB. In power. Just briefly, we also learn that Stephen is full of power. And again, this is not just unique to Stephen, but this is given to the Christ church because Jesus gives it to us. Listen to Matthew 28, 18 and 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven on earth have been given to me, to Jesus. He has all authority. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command to you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus has the power. He gives the power to his church. Jesus wouldn't just give us some authority. It tells us right here in verse 18, he has all authority over all creation. And now he gives his authority to his church. Not for the church to have authority over Christ, but for the church to display the authority of God to proclaim the gospel to the end of the earth. And Paul communicates this to us, this power that Christ possessed, and he gave it to the life of the Christian. So not only Stephen has this power, the Christian church possessed this same power. Listen to Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 23. Listen to these rich words in Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of the revelation and knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, and power, and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet. Not some things, he has put all things under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills in all and in all. God power is given to those who believe. And we cherish the power and use the power for the proclamation of his name. That's why we can go to the block and hear every block here in Pine Bluff and proclaim the gospel. He has given us the power to proclaim his gospel to the ends of the earth. And this power was given to Stephen. And before we see what happens, we first see that Stephen is full of faith. And he's full of power. But it's just not unique to Stephen. That is something that we possess as well. When we doubt the power that God has given to us, and I'm not talking about power in the sense of we're going walking on water. Not that type of power. You know, I know some people like KJ might have thought about that. But not that power we're referring to. He's talking about the power and authority to take the gospel to the end of the nation, to the end of the world. And again, Stephen is before a religious group that's going to eventually going to despise him. That's why it tells that this combination of word full of faith and full of the Spirit and full of power, it gives us these words letting us know that Stephen cannot go in the game alone. If he go in the thing without the Spirit, he would cower out of this. He'd be like old Peter, right? You remember during the time of Jesus, the passion? Peter had all this boldness. He's talking about this. Lord, I won't leave you. Everybody else is going to leave you. I'm going to stand beside you. When persecution came, the first disciple left with Peter. Peter's talking about the OG. He was the first one to leave. But all of a sudden, we see a different Peter in Acts. The Peter in Acts, he stood up with all boldness and said, the Christ that you crucified is the Christ that's reigned supreme before the Father. What happened? Peter was enriched with the Spirit, just like Stephen. So for Stephen to stand before this leader and not compromise, it revealed the boldness of Stephen. It revealed the boldness of the Spirit and the boldness of the hand of God upon Stephen's life. But it reveals also the Christ that's upon Stephen's life. That the Father, the Son, and the Spirit has a hand on his brother Stephen. So the Father has their hand on Stephen. Again, the Father has his hand on the church. Stephen is weak apart from the Spirit. We're weak apart from the Spirit. But we have the Spirit. And no one can take that away from us. The Spirit of God dwells in us forevermore. No one can take away that from us. We are in Christ forever. Brings us to point number 3. We learn that God does the work through his faithful servants. Look again in verse 8. This is Stephen. It said, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. We now see what happens when one is full of faith and power. God's will is done. When someone is full of faith and power, God's will is done. God uses Stephen for his own glory and many for his own honor. Great wonders and signs that was done by Stephen. They were done because Stephen depended on the Lord to work through him. But what is great is that the ordinary man that wasn't a Jewish leader was able, this ordinary man Stephen, wasn't a part of the Jewish leaders, he's able to do signs and wonders before these people. Any great wonders and signs will be done by Jewish leaders in the past. It will be the Jewish leaders would affirm that this person doesn't have leprosy anymore. That the Jewish leader will be the one that actually be the one that everybody go to be healed. But now, the narrative has changed. They go into a Stephen, a guy that's probably poor. They're not going to the high priest. They go into a Stephen. And great wonders are done before the people. And this should sound familiar. You remember in John 2. Jesus not only turned the water to wine in John chapter 2. It tells us in verse 23 in John chapter 2. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. Stephen is mirroring who? Jesus. Stephen is mirroring Jesus. Isn't that kind of crazy though? Like, it's like Jesus is like laughing in their face almost. Like, man, y'all killed me. Y'all thought it was over, didn't you? Now have what, thousands of more just like me. And as you kill them, more is going to grow up. And that's why you see in persecuted places like Pakistan, China, you know, in places like Laos, around the world, when the Christian church is persecuted, that's when we grow. That should tell you what's happening in America right now, right? We don't want persecution. We want soft Christianity that tells us everything we want to hear. We want the feel-good gospel. I want more money. I want more cars. I want all these good things. We don't want persecution in America. Because persecution was God used to grow his church. Jesus was persecuted, and many followers followed him. The disciples are persecuted. 8,000 people were added to the church. Stephen's about to be persecuted, and we're going to learn about the conversion of Paul eventually. Family, to follow Jesus, family are going to mock you. Your closest family members are going to mock you. Your closest friends are going to mock you. But hey, look what we gain in the end. We get all the riches in Christ. Nothing in the world can compare to what we have in Christ. Let us lose it all now. But some don't want to lose it all. They want to hold on to this and hold on to Jesus. But Jesus said, if you're not willing to forsake mother and father, you're not ready to be my disciple. To follow Jesus, you must lose it all. And that's not a bad thing. We gain it all. We gain it all. We gain eternity before the glorious God forevermore. And Stephen gets this. And that's why Stephen is going to have one amazing sermon in all the scriptures. When he stands before them, and you guys know how it's going to end. Stephen is going to stand before them. He's going to give them a solid gospel message for two chapters, in chapter 6 and chapter 7. He's going to take them all the way through the Old Testament and let them see that Jesus Christ is the true Son of God, and they're going to kill him. And if they kill Jesus and they kill Stephen, why do you think you're going to get a pass? We're not going to get a pass. It's coming. But we got each other. We got each other through this. To encourage one another. As we as ambassadors, as we sojourners on this land. This is not our home. We're sojourners on this land. Then eventually, he's going to call us home to himself. But for those that are in here, a lot of what I said was kind of foreign. For you that are seeking after all the things in this world, for those that are in here that are really not interested in what I just said here today, for those that are not believers here, the reason why you didn't understand what I said today, because you are blinded. That God's wrath remain on you. If you continue in your sin, there's no other hope for you. Yes, best life now? Yes, this earth is your best life. This is the best it's going to get for you. If you die in your sin, you will be punished by God because you have stolen his glory. The only hope for you is to repent and put your faith in Jesus, who lived the perfect righteous life that you didn't live. He lived a perfect life. He lived a life that was honoring and glory to the Father. He lived that life that we should have lived. He lived that perfect life. And what did he do? He takes our sins. He takes the punishment that we deserve. And for you that truly believe in Christ, who was elected by the Father, you don't get God's wrath. You get the glory. You get redemption. You get all those things in Christ. For those who know they are weak, and for those who know they need a Savior, they get all of these things in Christ. For those who are here thinking that they're not a bad person, they're a good person, if they can tell God they're a good person, one sin has disqualified you. The wages of sin is death. There's no other hope for you. And God will punish you. So today is the day of salvation. Turn in repentance today. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.